Rich, I've never been this nervous for something that really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. This 5 months has been leading up to this. I've been working it for 5 months. It's a big time commitment.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, the world will still be turning tomorrow, even if, you know, I go over 8, 10, 12 minutes.
It will, Lionel, but for you, it'll be turning a little bit more slowly, and the view will be decidedly less sunny. If you don't invest this with meaning, then there's no point. If it doesn't mean something, then there literally is no point. This is how elite sports people approach their events. They've got to invest it with meaning. Let's do this.
For the past 5 months, three of us, that's Richard Moore, Rob Hatch and me, Lionel Burney, have been following a turbo training programme under the guidance of coach Chad Timmerman, the co-founder of Trainer Road. When we started out, we were fairly evenly matched in terms of our power to weight. We followed an initial six-week programme to build our base fitness, which in my case was pretty lacking. Then we switched to a more intensive threshold and VO2 max work for the second phase of training before honing our speed in the most recent sessions. It's fair to say we've all experienced significant improvement and the results have been clear to see when I've ridden on the road recently. But the big question is, who's the fastest on a bike? Coach Chad set us a challenge. He wanted us to each ride a 4 kilometre pursuit. So we headed to the National Cycling Centre in Manchester, the home of British cycling, to find out.
Does anyone know how to get there?
Yeah,
just go out of the car park first. Yeah. You got your feet up in the back there, Rich?
Yeah, I've got my feet up in the back here, Lionel. The line of the Chilterns, as I believe you're now known.
Oh dear.
Listen, Lionel, the morning's got off to quite a competitive start already, hasn't it, with the draw for the starting order?
Yeah, a bit of controversy about the order the eggs came out of the hat.
Well, it was all done according to international rules. I think there was absolutely nothing irregular about the voting procedure. We even had your friend draw the eggs, because I suspected that you would call foul. But call foul. But it was all done. It was all above board, and it so happened that it came out in the order of you first, then Rob Hatch, and then me, last man. Yeah, I mean, do you think we're going to make it to the Velodrome in time for your allotted start time, Lionel? I'm a bit worried. The clock's ticking.
We've got an hour and 13 minutes. I'm going to get at least 5 minutes warm-up.
An hour and 12 of those will be getting into your skin suit.
I kicked off my training, the first training I've really committed to in about 15 years, in the Basque Country in northern Spain, back in October, doing some rides on the hilly roads there before spending much of the winter at home on the turbo trainer. That was something I thought would be a real chore and a bit of a grind, but I actually quite enjoyed it in the end because there was a structure to it which gave me a focus or a reason for doing it. Somebody on Twitter asked me recently how the trainer road training compared to the training I used to do when I raced. In fact, the training itself was not dissimilar. There was an emphasis on quality over quantity and lots of intervals and intensity. But that in the early 90s was a new form of training, really. Prior to that, if road racing was your thing, as it was for me, it was all about getting the miles in. Then in the early 90s, along came heart rate monitors, which highlighted an inconvenient truth, that loads of junk miles, i.e. slow miles, might get you fit, but they didn't get you fit for racing. So heart rate monitors revolutionised training and brought in an emphasis on quality over quantity. But what was different now, 20 years on, was the information I was basing my efforts on, power rather than heart rate. That was fascinating for me and really instructive, not least in comparing my very modest efforts with the pros, something you can't do in any meaningful sense with heart rate. At the World Track Championships in London, Chris Hoy offered me some expert tips. Not sure what he knows about pursuiting over 4 kilometres, but I suppose he knows a little bit about racing on a track. Here he is. So Chris, you know, I've done the training, I've been training now for 4 months, I feel in pretty good shape. You can see that I've lost weight, I'm looking pretty lean. I feel confident. What are your tips for me? How should I approach this? 4Ks, it's a long way.
Well, Richard, it's a kilo longer than the 3K that you did back in the day. At East of Scotland cycling championship. So I remember seeing your photograph in this SCU handbook.
It's incredible you remember that.
Yeah, well, you know, you were a hero of mine. I looked up to you. And so I really don't need to be giving you any advice at all. Clearly, you have the experience. You have the palmares of a top-level pursuiter. But if you'd like any sort of tips that I could pass on, I would just say it's about the details now. You've done all the hard work. You know, you're clearly in shape.
Am I looking for a few marginal gains?
It's just the thousands you're looking at now, really. You know, it's making sure that you get the snap at the gate absolutely right, that you visualise
the snap. What does that mean?
Well, it's the, you know, it's that launching of yourself out the start gate, your transfer of mass, shall we say. It's holding the line, it's pacing strategies, it's keeping it aero, you know, making sure that every little wrinkle on your skin suit is ironed out, and you know, it's
what about the wrinkles elsewhere?
There's not a lot you can do about them, but you know, I don't think I really need to be giving you any advice, is what I'm trying to say, Richard. That
how about pacing? I mean, you were a man for the short distance, but you did ride a 4K team pursuit on occasion, so you know what it's like to ride 4Ks. What's your advice about pacing strategy?
Pacing strategies, it's, well, you know, I'm not sure who you got walking line for you. Have you got anybody out there?
I was hoping you could do that.
Yeah, I'm in France that day, unfortunately. I would be there. Although it's 9 o'clock in the morning, so yeah, I'd have struggled, to be fair, getting up at that time. But it's really on the track. It sounds silly, but it's all about driving through the bends and floating the straights. It's not a steady effort because of the physics of the corners. So yeah, without getting too technical about it, squeeze through the corners, float on the straights. Don't get overexcited in that first lap and a half or two laps where you don't really feel any pain in your legs. Just don't get carried away there. Get onto a steady rhythm and then try and hold it for maybe to about sort of 4 or 5 laps to go, and that's when you really need to dig in.
What about tapering? I'm thinking, when should I start tapering? Maybe about 3 or 4 weeks out?
I would start tapering probably 3 or 4 minutes before. Really, you want to get as much training in as you can now. You know, I wouldn't be backing off, put it that way.
Still at Volta Catalunya. I've hardly ridden my bike for a month. I think I've been on twice. I've got to do this pursuit on Tuesday at Rob Hills. You know a bit about that. What am I going to do, mate?
To be honest, Rob, pursuit is one of the simplest forms of track racing, so in that respect it'll be easy for you guys. It's right up your street. All you've got to do, you've got to just make sure you keep the top of the chain as tight as you can. Every time you get to the end of the straight, turn left, not too hard left, just gently drop your left shoulder and ease yourself around the banking. It's as simple as that. It's only 16 laps, what more can you ask for?
Well, you've managed to keep me off the sweets and the Easter Sunday chocolate. I haven't had too many beers. I've done all right. I've maybe just put on a bit of weight. But I've never ridden a track bike before, Rob. What's the difference?
Just don't stop pedalling. Otherwise, it'll throw you straight over the handlebars and you'll land on the boards. It is something different. You've just got to relax. Don't fight it. Don't grip the bars too hard. Try not to steer with your arms. It's all with your hips. And you've just got to relax and enjoy it and smile all the way round.
What about me rivals, though? You know Lionel pretty well. You know Rich very well. What am I up against?
Don't you worry about those guys. They, you know, Lionel, I'm not so sure. I've never seen him on a track bike. He better shave, that's for sure. Richard, he's a big unit. He's got lots of power. He's going to need that power, for sure. And if he doesn't ride the bankings correctly and tries to fight it up the straights, he's going to go pop big time. So don't you worry about them.
Who are you rooting for?
Do you know what? I'm on the fence with this one. Obviously, you know, having spent a week with you, the last person I want to win is you, I think. but you'll be fine. And as I always said, rest is best. You'll be Freddy Freshlegs. You'll be fine. Just go out there, show your souplesse, express yourself, and just enjoy it.
I've done most of my turbo training sessions at home in my office, with the occasional one done at my club's turbo evenings, just to break the monotony of suffering alone. It's been surprisingly easy to remain motivated over the long winter, simply because I've not been plugging away on the road in freezing wet conditions. But it wasn't until I did a few days riding in the south of France in January that I really noticed just how much I'd improved. As race day approached, though, I had a couple of sessions at the velodromes in London and Derby in the hope that I might gain a bit of an edge in terms of track craft. Then I heard that Richard had been speaking to Sir Chris Hoy and Rob had been getting tips from former world champion Rob Hales. So I thought perhaps I'd better ask British Cycling's technical director Shane Sutton, a man who knows a thing or two about the 4-kilometre pursuit, for a bit of advice too.
How would I say I'd ride a 4K pursuit? Well, obviously, you know what you're capable of through all your training. As you say, you know what your threshold is. But it's 4K pursuits normally won and lost in the first three laps. So it's the neural damage you do off the line. If you go too hard too soon, then you obviously ultimately you're going to blow. So it's all about pace judgment and it's about sustainable power. In your case, Lionel, maybe, what would I say? You say 4 minutes, 4K. Well, he's going pretty well if he's done 4 minutes. But no, you'd get an idea of what your powers were going in. So you'd know what you were capable of, whether you were capable of 18-second laps. And it is about, you know, pace judgment. And as I said, sustainable power at the end of the day and not leaving it all in that first three or four laps. You want to see it as a tank of petrol finishing 16 laps later on empty. But it's how you distribute it. There's no good virtually emptying the tank in the first kilometre, which a lot of people do. And we see, like, we saw Cav do it at the Worlds. You know, he went from one point, I think, you know, he was probably set a schedule of, say, 16 fives, I don't know, just off the top of my head. But at one point he went down to 14 nines. So inevitably he's going to be doing 17 ones at the end, which he was. And this sounds crazy talking about, like, Cav didn't understand the demand of the event here because he just felt really good and he started to hit the gas and then all of a sudden he's run out of petrol.
A lot of similarities between me and Cav, as you know.
Well, I can see that, you know. I can see how ripped you are and how prepared you are for this event that you're training for.
I'm Andy. I'm track coach here at the National Cycling Centre in Manchester. And this morning we've got the guys from the Cycling Podcast and they're going to be doing a 4 kilometre solo time trial, which is the Olympic distance for the men. 16 laps against the clock. I'd call it a measured effort. If they go out too hard, they're going to suffer. If they don't put enough into it at the right times, though, they're not going to get the time that they're perhaps capable of. So it's a measured effort and, yeah, they're going to feel it at the end of that 16 laps.
Who's looking best so far?
I've got to go with Rob, given his previous form on the track, I think. But who knows? Who knows?
I'm Alan Bissaker, friend of the podcast. I quite fancy Richard for this one. He's got a steely determination in his eyes. The warm-up, so yeah, I'll go with Richard.
My name's David Miller from Arntide. I'm friend of the podcast. I'm going to support Lionel because nobody else has.
Lionel, if anybody ever looked the part, then it's you. Overshoes, glasses, aero helmet. Aero helmet.
What, that's a skin suit?
Unbelievable. Is it a skin suit?
No. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Incredible.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look the part, you might perform the part. Who knows?
7.5 laps to go. Lionel Burney of England just pedalling a nice, steady pace on the Velodrome. Coming up for his latest split time. 20-odd seconds. Not sure how many. Yeah, how's he looking, Rich? 5.5 laps to go.
The line of Chilterns is putting in a very measured performance here, I would say, Rob. It's very steady. I expect to see him pick it up soon.
Yeah, he said he was aiming for a schedule. He went out nice and easy.
I can hear him breathing.
That's a good sign.
I can hear him wheezing. But let's not speak too soon, eh? There he goes, look at
for
that.
The banking yet again. Hasn't got as low as I thought he might do today, Lionel. 4 laps to go, he's trying his best not to laugh. Waste of energy, as Coach Chad says. Make a smiley face. Don't show the pain. Maybe that's his tactic. Lionel Burney then come around the banking. He's going to be the bell lap this time. He's tiring, you can hear the breathing. There is the bell, 1 lap to go for Lionel Burney.
Oh, I'm ready to chunder, I think.
Okay, I'm going to take a step back there.
God, that's really, really hard. You just don't know what you're doing. You don't know whether you're going too hard or too easy. And all the time around, you're thinking, I could do more. And then as soon as you make any effort, you're just in there. This is before I know what time I've done. So, you know, but what the time you do is almost irrelevant. I mean, the first time I had a go at that, I can imagine 5 months ago, just, you know, just hitting the wall after about 6 laps and not having anything to push through with. But Richard and Rob joke about is that I'm probably the most mentally fragile. I'd beaten myself up before we even got here this morning. Now I've done that, I actually feel, you know, all right. But I wouldn't have had the sort of mental sort of strength that the trainer road has given me to just dig in. And the thing you don't realise is that the track is, unless you really know how to ride it, The track's trying to fight against you all the time. Do you think, oh, stick on the black line. Yeah, righto.
You know, I think going out first was a hard thing to do, although I just comforted myself with the knowledge that I'm not Lionel.
Run, Rob, that black line!
He's going to end up covering 5,000 metres at this rate. This is definitely a disadvantage.
Thought I could have given a bit more. Actually, I went a lot in the last lap, but
it looked like you were putting a lot in from the beginning, and you kept it pretty consistent.
Oh, if that's the case, I'm very happy because I actually tried to go out nice and easy. A little worried about actually giving too much, going too fast, and then not being able to stop. I'll be happy with a third place finish as long as I'm not too far off the second.
Cadence.
I think he's doing well. He started off very fast, but I think he's holding it together.
The difference is he looks like a proper bike rider, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he?
Annoying to have to say that, but he does look really good.
I felt like I got faster, though. I'd be interested to see what the splits were, because I felt like I got faster as it went on, but I could be wrong. I will give credit to Trainer Road, because one of the big emphases in their training is focusing on your pedal stroke and, you know, working your pedal stroke all the way around, not just pushing and pulling, but the top of the circle and the bottom. And, you know, when I've ridden a fixed wheel before, I've really had to fight the instinct to ease off, and then you get tugged around by the wheel. This time I found it much easier, the fixed wheel, and I think it might be partly because my pedal stroke has improved using the Trainer Road program. So I'm much fitter than I was 6 months ago, just because I've been doing it three times a week. So as Coach Chad keeps saying, just doing the training will get you fit and fitter, and I'm much fitter than I was. And, you know, I maybe wouldn't have been able to fit into my Commonwealth Games gear 6 months ago, or it would have been a lot uglier than it is, and it's pretty ugly now. But it would have been even worse, I suspect. So no, it's been great. It's been good fun. I enjoyed that.
Okay, so Lionel, you were up first. Good effort, 5 minutes.
So this was a moment we'd all been waiting for, and Richard and I were in for a bit of a shock. We clearly underestimated Rob, although it has to be said, he's got age on his side. It was pretty close. Rob took the gold medal by just over 4 seconds in a time of 5 minutes 52.914, and I edged Richard out of the silver medal position by less than a hundredth. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. I was disappointed to lose, but delighted to beat Richard. I felt I'd done Trainer Road sessions where I'd gone much deeper. I'd finished efforts slumped over the handlebars, barely able to breathe. I didn't find I was able to go that hard on the track. But I guess that's because there's so many other factors. There's the fear of blowing up on a fixed gear, and it's the mental handbrake that Coach Chad had talked to us about coming into effect. I also wasn't that experienced at pacing an effort, and I think that played a part. I'd love to have another go at it. I'm sure that we'd all maybe chisel a little bit more time off.
Toilet door locked. Please don't flush. Go. Old phones, unpaid bills, junk mail, your ex's sweater, hopes, dreams or goldfish down this toilet.
Well, Rob, the toilet there warning me not to flush my hopes and dreams in the train that we're now in on our way back to London. But I think my hopes and dreams have gone. They were all invested in that race today, and I just watched the video replay and can't help but think I didn't go hard enough.
Expunged all of them, weren't they? I don't know what happened there, mate. I mean, I had the same sort of sensation of perhaps being able to go hard in the last few laps, having not been on it or done it before. And we've just watched also the video of my little ride around. I think I was up on the other bank, and I might have done a little extra few metres than you two. I certainly didn't look as good as you on a bike, if that's any consolation.
Not really. I was so concerned about blowing up. We were kept being told pacing. Don't go out too hard. And I don't think I went out hard.
There have been some tough, unenjoyable moments on the turbo, I won't deny that, but the end result is I'm enjoying cycling again. So thank you to everyone at Trainer Road for sponsoring the cycling podcast over the winter. Their support has enabled us to continue producing free-to-air episodes. Our thanks in particular go to Coach Chad and Jonathan Lee at Trainer Road. And we'd also like to thank a few people at British Cycling, particularly Scott Dougal for offering us the use of the track in Manchester, Kirsty McCaskill-Baxter for her help on the day, and especially Andy Adkin for stepping in, doing the timekeeping, offering us some coaching tips, and keeping the whole thing going. Thanks also to our photographer Simon Gill, to Nick Christian, and to Jonathan Rowe, who produced this episode. And of course, to Sir Chris Hoy, Rob Hales and Shane Sutton for each lending us the benefit of their experience while mostly keeping a straight face. If you want to find out more, visit trainerroad.com. Who knows, maybe we'll be set another challenge this coming winter.